وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا، إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم، إن الله عليم خبير. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. It's always nice to be back in Utah. Despite one may say, or what one may say about Muslims anywhere in the world, one will realize whichever country one travels through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Muslims a very unique strength, a very unique capability, and a very unique ability. And if we were to focus on just a few of our simple characteristics, I am confident we can become a much more reckoned, a much more admired, and a much more appreciated group of people. By virtue of example, for example, I have traveled various parts of the Middle East in the past, various parts of Africa, many parts of Asia. Whenever I went to a church and synagogue, you will never see two churches in two separate countries functioning the same way. You look at a church in Africa and a church in America, it's entirely different. In fact, when you walk into a church in Africa, for a moment you may even think Jesus is black, peace be upon him, because of the depictions and how they were presented. Because to get the black people to appreciate Jesus, they got to make Jesus look black. And when you go to a European church in the same country, Jesus is white, because a white man can only appreciate Jesus if Jesus is white. And the same will apply when you travel to various parts of the world, especially when you look at the people of the same religion, Christian on Christian, but because they are in separate locations, it is as if they have nothing in common whatsoever. In fact, if the Christian from Africa goes to a church in Iraq or in America, he or she begins to say, "Where am I? This is not the way we worship." In fact, there was an Iraqi Christian that I met. He says, "When I went to church in America, I was confused. What's all this dancing they're doing and all this party and merrymaking they're taking part in?" That was his perception. He couldn't relate to the Christians in America, even though he was a Christian himself. It's just an observation I'm presenting. But when you look at Muslims, wherever you meet them in the world, the adhan is the same. The salah is the same. In America, we try to say Shafi and Hanafi and Malik and Hanbali. This is the only country I think I've seen people do it. In those countries, I haven't seen it being done. Even though they may be a Shafi, they were Maliki then, it's just accepted that you are a part of us, we are a part of you, and they will pray the same. They appreciate people the same. They interact in the manner of sameness. The rules of halal and haram are not different. The methods of worship are not different. The hadith that the imam will mention in the various talks are almost identical. Yes, because of the environment, the interpretation may be a little bit different. This is a unique characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this aspect of unity, on this aspect of commonality, on this aspect of how Allah has bridged us in this unique pattern through one thing. It is through La ilaha illallah, not because it is an English language, I believe in one God, or there is none worthy of worship except one Allah. Because my brothers, I firmly believe, especially in observing on the simple travel, that if we all said La ilaha illallah in our own separate tongues, we would be very, very different, and our level of connectedness would have been very, very different. But because La ilaha illallah is in the Arabic language, and we are focused on it in the Arabic language, and everything else is a by the way translation, that has created a unique bridge between us. It's the power of language and the power of the culture, the power of the sunnah, the power of the hadith, and the power of the Quran, which we have let go for its actuality and reality. Having said that, there was a sahabi by the name of Thabit bin Qais. He was a very successful sahabi. He was a leader from amongst his people. Because of him, many people converted to Islam. He had took part in many diplomatic discussions. For example, when he was once told, why don't you get many signatures against a certain group or a certain event? He says, we don't take signatures from many different people, because if we were to take from many different people, then we will give the impression that we are highly disunited, etc. So rather we have an opposition. We'll have one representative go and discuss the opposition and try to bring unity. So this individual, Thabit bin Qais, had made many different contributions to Islam. And because of him, many people converted to Islam. He was also an individual that had a certain type of physical challenge, which I'll share with you very shortly. He also had a very important, good attribute. And my brothers, in order for our success, we have to connect to something. If you want success in your social life, then you have to have social connectedness. It is simple. If you want to be successful in your business, then you have to understand patterns, trends, how people are negotiating within your industry, type of contracts that are signed and how they are signed, the amount of loan people give, and for the length of time within your confinement of business, whatever that may be. If you don't understand what your business takes for its success, or what your profession takes for its success, then success in your field is going to be very, very difficult to come by. That applies to everyone. We have to know what our field requires, what the culture of that field requires, and ingratiate and bind and bond ourselves to that without sacrificing our principles. It's simple. I mean, if you're a taxi driver and you're not going to talk to customers, they're not going to be very happy with you. It's going to affect your success, your tip rate, etc. So what do you do when you're a taxi driver? You ask the question. What question do you ask? Where did you come from? How was your flight? What was your flight like? I heard there was a tornado in that area before you came. Did things improve? Yes, you may know the answer to these things, but that's what your industry requires. That's what the people in that field require. Same thing here regarding Thabit bin Qais. He knew what Rasulullah required. He knew what the environment required. He knew the protocol between the Sahaba. He knew the language very well. People think they know the language now. Many people. The person who knows English thinks he knows the language. Do you really know the language? What if I took you from America to Europe? Do you still know the language? Yes, you know the language, but you may not know the culture, so you're going to make mistakes. Because there are certain gestures that you use differently. You say you know Arabic. Yes, you may know classical, not street Arabic. You may know street Arabic, not classical. You may know both. You may not know the culture. You may know the culture. You may forget an element of research as it relates to hadith. As I'm saying, there are many variables regarding anything and everything. Now, Thabit bin Qais, the ayah is revealed.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi wa la tajharu lahu bil qawli kajahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tahbata a'malukum
Words are simple. Even a person of simple Arabic grammar knows, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, what must you do? La tarfa'u, la, don't. Tarfa'u comes from the root word, rafa'a, rafa'a, yarfa'u, tarfa'u, has to do with that which raises. La tarfa'u, do not raise, aswatakum, do not raise your voice, fawqa sawti an-nabi. In the presence of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does that mean? Don't raise your voice. What, you don't talk? Okay, you do talk. Don't talk loud. So what? If Rasulullah is standing here and you are there, mustn't talk loud. Let's say you have to talk something loud. Don't do it. Rasulullah said, where is Thabit bin Qais? He's not here. Where is he? Ansar goes. The man is weeping, the man is weeping. He is crying. Why is he crying? Oh, Rasulullah, the ayah says, La tarfa'u aswatakum. Don't raise your voice. As a result, he is crying because he says, I raise my voice in the presence of Rasulullah, and therefore the ayah is rebuking me. This is the way he interpreted it. This is the way he interpreted the ayah. Now you have to understand who was Thabit bin Qais. He was a person that couldn't hear very well. And because he couldn't hear very well, he used to talk loud. And because he used to talk loud, he thought that the ayah was referring to him that don't talk loud. So therefore, he was weeping, he was crying. My Allah is not happy with me. But the ayah says, أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ If you happen to talk loud, all your deeds will be negated, all your deeds will be wiped out, they will be brought to naught, they will be brought to zero. Rasulullah said, no, 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 my sahaba, I understand he has a deficiency. I understand that he has the urge and the need to talk loud. Like people wonder, why do I talk so loud? Why do I talk loud? Because of the screen? Because when I started giving khutbahs for 5 or 10 years, there was no microphone where I used to give. So I was forced to talk loud. And because I used to not have a microphone, I had to talk loud. Now I got used to talking loud. And that habit never came to an end. I'm speaking for over 20 years, you have to understand that. So, if you don't know why a person is talking loud, you have to ask. Otherwise, you're going to think, this guy is screaming his brains out at me. He doesn't like me. He's a mean guy. I'm not a mean guy. I need to talk loud because that's what I'm used to. Same thing regarding this given Sahabi. He had a problem with hearing. So he used to talk loud. So Rasulullah said, this ayah, when he says, La tarfa'u aswatakum, do not raise your voice, it sounds like it's saying, don't raise your voice. What it is saying is the following. That, O you who believe in Allah, O you who believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, talk with love, talk with humility, talk with goodness, talk with softness, talk with justice, talk with light. That's true, but that's not the only meaning. The meaning of this ayah is, La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi wa la tajharu lahu bil qawl ka jahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tahbata a'malukum wa antum la tash'urun. It says and it means, do not do things that will contradict the life between yourself and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah says perform salah, you perform salah. When Rasulullah says how to perform salah, you perform your salah in that given manner. When you do it in a different manner, then you are raising your voice, you are saying, I am better, I can do what I want to do. You, O Prophet of Allah, don't tell me what to do. when you take part in a haram relationship, and the Quran is saying do otherwise, Rasulullah is saying, be in a halal relationship, you say, I want to do what I want to do, you are raising your voice against Rasulullah and Allah SWT. When Allah SWT say to you, how to behave in an intimate relationship, and you say, it's my life, don't tell me what to do, then you are saying, I will raise my voice, I'm raising my voice against Rasulullah, and don't tell me what to do. That is the meaning of this ayah. When the Sahaba Ibn Abbas used to see Thabit bin Qais, they used to say, wow, look at that man. That man has an ayah that defended him. Imagine, you walking somewhere and someone saying, that ayah refers to that man. That ayah came down because of that man. What a position. One day Thabit, now this is the man being elevated. The man being told is a man of Jannah. Another instance, Thabit bin Qais is coming through the crowd. As he's coming through the crowd, there are people there, and he begins to hit a few people on the shoulders, and he's jumping over, crossing over, hitting people's shoulders, and he came all the way in the front. Rasulullah said, what's going on? Why did you do that? Why did you just come all the way from the back? You came last. In other words, you should have been in the back. Why did you come in the front the way you came? And he says, look at all these people. These red, white, black, all these people. In other words, what did he say? I'm close to the Prophet of Allah. I have the right to be close to the Prophet of Allah. These people are like foreigners and strangers. They're like outsiders. They don't need this type of position where I am. Rasulullah was very hurt by that. He was very hurt by that. When it was time to praise Thabit bin Qais, he praised him. But now the man overstepped. The same, now the question will be, how could a Sahabi do this? We have to understand, many a times Sahaba made mistakes, not because they were like you and I. According to the ulama, sometimes Sahaba were made to make mistakes, whether it was zina, whether it was seeking wealth from Rasulullah, whether it was alcohol, gambling, not performing salah, not going for hajj, being mean to the woman folk, being mean to the husband, where a woman walks up and says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to divorce this man. How can a woman, you would say, do that? Go up to the Prophet of Allah and say, get me a divorce of this man after Rasulullah got them married. How could this happen? Ulama write every one of these things the Sahaba did so we can learn how Rasulullah addressed the matter. So today's time, everything is covered. Whether a man gambles, whether a man drinks, whether a woman seeks divorce, whether it is theft, you name it. Everything has been put together for our response. So Thabit bin Qais is coming to the front. What does he say? Why must I be behind all these red, white, and black people? I am close. I need to be here. Rasulullah got very upset. Very, very upset. When it was time to praise the man, he praised the man. Now it was time to rebuke the man. He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, Ya ayyuhal nas, Inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabaila lita'arafu. Regardless of whether you are male, imagine the Quran, or whether you are a female, whether you male, whether you are female, well, dhakari wa untha, addresses it clearly. Whether you male, whether you are a female, regardless of who you are, whether you are from this background or that background, it does not matter whatsoever. Thereafter it says, we made you into all these things, first of all, لِتَعَارَفُ. So you can recognize one another and know the uniqueness of this person. He or she is from China. This is their strengths. This is their weaknesses. This is their dress code. This is their eating habits. This is their tongue. This is their strength. This is their weakness. We must learn. We must recognize. Back then, if someone said this, we'd say, well, it sounds smart. Now you go to college, people are paying thousands of dollars to take classes in intercultural communication. People are getting PhDs
in studying and mastering other languages, other cultures. And the Quran is saying, this is exactly لِتَعَارَفُ. That's why I have all these differences, so you may recognize, build on this. Thereafter, Rasulullah tells the Sahabi, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Forget black, white, and red, tell the Sahabi, forget that. The thing that matters most, O Thabit bin Qais, is that you attain taqwa, is that you attain goodness. Yes, you may be a brilliant Sahabi, you may be a good Sahabi, you may be a recognized Sahabi, you may be the most accepted Sahabi. From amongst the Sahaba, he was given one of the glad tidings, in not necessarily in the form of Ashara Mubashara, but he was given the glad tidings of the man of Jannah. Rasulullah says to him, you may be given the glad tidings of a beautiful outcome, but until you don't realize this here, my Sahabi, you will be always at a fault. Inna akramakum, the most noble amongst you in the eyes of Allah is the one that has taqwa. Who is the one that has taqwa? That individual that can make good decisions at all times, whether it is in the dark of the night or the brilliant daylight, whether he's with his family or whether he's with his enemy, whoever he may be with, justice will always prevail, goodness will always prevail, ethics will always prevail, morality will always prevail, because first he recognizes himself, first she recognizes herself, not as a lawyer, not as an engineer, not as an American passport holder, not as a person that's living in Beverly Hills or Utah or in this area or that area. First they say, I am a Muslim. And they recognize themselves first as Muslim. And they recognize others as their Muslimness and their goodness in their faith and iman. So he says, O Thabit bin Qais, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That if you understand this aspect, then you will be successful. When Sahaba used to see Thabit bin Qais, they used to say many different things about many different Sahaba. When they used to see him, they used to say, this man has two ayah, what we'll say to this time, under his belt. Two ayah revealed. How admirable is this man? When people rebuke you or put you down, it's not because they hate you. It's because sometimes they love you. Children don't understand this. That sometimes you put people down, you have to correct them. Yes, look at the ayah. The first ayah was praising him. That all time would be the place. Not raising your voice means, yes, we understand you have to raise your voice because you have a physical challenge. But raising your voice in the Quranic point means that you will not do things that are unjust or unjust against Allah Rasulullah. So people used to say regarding Thabit bin Qais, he had two ayah revealed in his favor. One defending him, saying, he's a good man. He's a compassionate man. He's a man that's following Rasulullah. He's an honorable man for that. And the second ayah was an ayah that becomes used by all of us. We all use this ayah when we say, well, we are different tribes, we are different nations. Why are we different nations? So that we can recognize one another. No, that's not the only idea of the ayah. Today we learn that's one idea of the ayah. The second idea of the ayah is, never, ever look down upon another individual, regardless of who you are. That's what it really means. And once you put those two ayah together, following Rasulullah in every condition, number one, imagine. First, following Allah Rasulullah, and number two, the second ayah, appreciating humanity. My brothers and sisters in Islam, you will become the most successful male and female ever. You follow these two things. Ask any salesman that is successful. Ask any lawyer or doctor that is successful. Ask any businessman that is a failure versus this businessman that is successful. What gave him the success? Every businessman and woman or every successful person has two things. Believe in Allah in the proper way, number one. And number two, they understand the value of human life and they treat human life with dignity. And And if we take these two ayah of Surah Hujurat with us inshallah today, we will see success upon success in our personal as well as in our public life. Allah help us and guide us at all times.
Alhamdulillah.